What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 26. I'm Rob St. Clair, and once again, I'm going solo this time. I'm going to talk about a match or go over a highlight video of a match that happened last year from the 2019 FIVB World Cup on the men's side, USA versus Brazil. This just kind of set the stage for it until we dive into the video. I'm going to do kind of the same thing that I did on the previous episode where I went by myself talking about that one highlight video. The World Cup is a tournament in the third year of every quad. We call a quad like the four-year block that ends with the Olympic Games as far as the national team schedule is concerned. The World Cup is a tournament that follows the VNL, or formerly the World League, in the third summer of the quad, so 2019 in this case. And the World Cup usually serves as an Olympic qualifier, as like the first opportunity to qualify for the Olympics. The format is really interesting. It's just 12 teams, and it's just a straight-up round robin. No playoffs or anything, so just 11 matches per team, and the best record at the end wins the tournament. And under like normally, the top two finishers in this round robin format would get a bid to the Olympics. The U.S. won this tournament in 2015 in the previous quad, and that's how they got their bid to Rio. Now, the reason why it wasn't an Olympic qualifier this time around is because the Olympics, which would have been in 2020, but we now, of course, know they're postponed to 2021, are going to be held in Tokyo, Japan. And the World Cup is always held in Tokyo, Japan as well. And Japan is not going to not play in their own event in the World Cup. So Japan, playing in the World Cup, has also already qualified for the Olympics in Tokyo as the hosts. And part of the rule of how Olympic qualifiers work is if a team that's already qualified for the Olympics is in a tournament, that tournament then cannot be an Olympic qualifier. So because just this one year, the Olympics are in Tokyo and the World Cup is always in Tokyo and Japan is playing in both, they couldn't use the World Cup as an Olympic qualifier, and instead they had to run a series of continental Olympic qualifiers, one of which the U.S. came out of, and then Canada was the other team to come out of North America in those. So a little bit of a different qualification story for the Olympics, this quad, and what that ends up meaning for the World Cup's sake is that there really just isn't that much on the line. So like these teams were just playing kind of for bragging rights and a little bit of the prize money in that round-robin format. So it was an interesting display of coaching strategy and roster decisions throughout this whole tournament. Brazil goes on to win this tournament because they played almost the entirety of their like A Olympic caliber roster the whole time. Almost no other team in the tournament did that. But this match that we're about to look at here is a good one because it's about as close as you can get to the starting lineups at the time of the US and Brazil going at it in Tokyo last year. So this is from the FIVB's YouTube channel. It's like an 8-minute highlight video that we'll go over, and I'll talk about the volleyball that's going on. I'll talk about the teams. I'll talk about the commentary. My guy Clayton Lucas is this British guy who does a lot of the solo commentary for the big FIVB events. So he's on the mic for this one. Very different style than Paul Sunderland, who's the guy that we talked about in the last kind of broadcasting analysis. So we'll just kind of walk through this highlight video. I'll link the original in the description of this. By the way, anyone who's listening on audio, you're definitely going to want to go back and watch the video of this one once you get the video pulled up. It's you're going to be missing quite a bit of it if you can't see what's going on. So without further ado, let me switch over here and let's check out the first couple plays.
It's Brazil in their home strip against the USA in theirs, and what a start. Well, that's just set the tone, isn't it?
Nice ace serve by outside hitter Lucarelli right off the bat.
Good art. That's a fantastic dig from Christensen. Oh, Lucarelli wasn't sure if it was going in or out. That one's off the shoulder of Tales. This is crazy volleyball. Brilliant. Just brilliant. Charlie's off the shoulder.
Ooh, really good stuff so far here. So we had the ace serve at the very first point of the match, and then here you get a pretty gnarly dig in the cross court by Micah Christensen on the U.S. side. Goes over the net. Christensen gets a swing at one at one point. Anderson gets an overpass, which he hits in the libero's shoulder for Brazil. Ends up with an Aaron Russell kill on the left side, hard cross court. Love that a lot. Lucas, as a commentator, is kind of a guy where he's just, you know, reacting very emotionally to things as he sees them. He's not going to be a guy who breaks down all that stuff in all kinds of technical detail. He's just kind of a voice to narrate players and give you a little bit of background on the tournament, but just to kind of be a voice live reacting to the volleyball. He gets really excited, which I really, really like. I would like if he was a little bit more willing to be knowledgeable and, like, you know, kind of drop some behind the scenes or some technical stuff about what's going on. I think people appreciate that from analysts. Now he's doing kind of the play-by-play thing solo. I don't dislike his style at all. I think Paul Sunderland's is a little bit better for me. But I do like that this guy is just clearly a big volleyball fan. He just likes watching what he's watching. And there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on here worthy of being excited about.
And Souza. USA come again. Four options. It's Anderson finds that corner. It's invaluable.
Okay, that play is really interesting because both Lucarelli for Brazil and Aaron Russell for the U.S. Took very smart and almost like these off-speed shots that almost worked. So Lucarelli tips one into the block that's like barely kind of scooped up by Anderson on his side. And then Russell does pretty much the same thing. That's a smart volleyball because I could tell immediately on that Brazil set that Lucarelli ran underneath that ball a little bit. Set was probably 5 feet off the net, which is a little further off than Lucarelli was expecting it. So did the smart thing, kept the ball in play, tipped it into the block. Pretty good move by both teams scooping that ball in play on their respective block attempts. You know, keeping the ball alive, giving themselves a chance to score again. I think a thing that both of these teams do really, really well. And then Anderson ends up with a cross-court kill out of the on the right side here.
Good. You can't buy. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you hear Lucas there, Lucas the commentator. Not to be confused with Lucas, one of the middles for Brazil. I'll try to keep those two straight. But he's like, you get Aaron Russell off a perfect pass, a pretty wide open net on a BIC. He's going to bomb that ball. It's going to get the Japanese crowd oohing and ahhing. And Lucas is like, oh, yes, he's just into it. I like that style. Let's move on. I'll get into more of his broadcasting in a little bit as the clips get a little bit longer. But for now, I just kind of want to watch the match. Cool rally there. One thing I noticed is that Lucarelli, who, like I just talked about in the previous clip, did a nice job tipping a ball in a kind of out of position spot offensively. That time, high ball set from way across the court, someone's platform. He's about 10 feet against a fully formed triple block, and he just takes a rip, takes a nice high, hard, really hard swing, which is to be confident in that is a very high level characteristic of an outside hitter. Unfortunately for him, though, the U.S. got a perfect touch on that. And a perfect, like, easy platform play for Eric Shoji, who, interestingly enough, is playing in middle back in that case. And I'll try to keep an eye on that. I know that's a thing that the U.S. men's national team does a decent amount, is have their libero defend in middle back. Because a lot of these plays at the super highest levels, like we're watching here, there's a lot of those balls that are coming high off the hands that need to be played 40 feet off the net, like well behind even the court. So sometimes they'll have their left side hitters defend in left back and then send the libero all the way back there and have that outside hitter, you know, shuffle in and run the BIC and transition. But a really nice block touch there from the U.S. sets up an easy Eric Shoji touch for a right side kill there.
Well played, both Christensen and Stahl to keep the ball in play, but it's Brazil who take to give Stahl that opportunity in a match of this stature. Oh,
Incredible set from Bruno there. That's really good volleyball there too. Alan Souza, who's playing opposite for Brazil this pretty much this whole tournament, Noah Wallace this tournament, ended up being the MVP of the whole event. He's a guy that hasn't gotten that many national team touches kind of until last year, but people who follow the Brazilian league know him from Sesi Sao Paulo. He's playing opposite. He's in left front rotation one. Gets a little bit of a tight set, slaps it into the block, pretty good cover from Brazil, and then a gorgeous set by Bruno. Bruno Resende, one of the best to ever do it. Over his head to a one-on-one on the right side. Lucarelli makes no doubt about it. And so you notice Brazil up kind of one and a half, 2 points here for most of the end of set one. We'll see how it ends.
Heading on a good pass, which he's got. Good up from Anderson. USA still defending. Oh, that's bumped by Liao. This is how hard it was hit. It's hit. Before he even knew it hit him.
Yeah, that was a bomb from Yonde Leal, who, if people don't know that guy's story, he's one of several guys that was born in Cuba, played on the Cuban national team, and was a part of that 2010 team that went all the way to the gold medal match of the World Championships. And as I talked about a little bit with Daniel Davidson of The Rising Tide when I had him on this show, we talked about how Cuba... for a long time, they didn't allow their national team players to go overseas to play club and make money professionally. They required them to stay home because of kind of the communist regime that was there at the time. And so what a lot of the players ended up doing, which is the same thing that several baseball players have done, is just defect from the country entirely, find a way to leave the country however they could and latch on somewhere and make money playing volleyball. And so a handful of those guys in the several years since have gone through the process of getting citizenship and getting cleared by the FIVB to play for other national teams. So Leal, who has played for Sada Cruzeiro forever in Brazil, ended up with Brazilian citizenship, and last year was his first year fully on the Brazilian national team. A lot of people also will know Osmani Wantarena, Cuban turned Italian. Wilfredo Leon, of course, probably the best player in the world, Cuban turned Polish, and the other guy kind of from that crew back in 2010 who's got the star power is Robert Landy Simone, who's a middle, who has played in professionally in a lot of different countries and tried, kind of put the feelers out to get citizenship a handful of different places. I think Bulgaria, I think Canada, I think Brazil, maybe even Italy, and none of them really worked out. But actually, Cuba has since relaxed their stance on their professional athletes substantially, and now Simone has been playing back for the Cuban national team after all these years. So that's cool to see. Anyway, as far as this play goes, Leal is all over all kinds of highlight reels, just bombing balls sharp cross court right to the 10-foot line. So I like Clayton Lucas's reaction to how hard he hit that ball one-on-one and in a pretty key situation. Oh, actually, it looks like Brazil's already won the set at that point. Let me go back and see that again.
Isaac,
yeah, so Brazil ends up taking set one.
In itself, another incredible feat. When Isaac is 2 meters and 8 tall, one of the tallest players. Souza that time though gets dug, makes a good dig. Wow, well played.
Okay, commentary wise, there, I don't think Clayton Lucas did a good enough job of highlighting how good that dig by Aaron Russell was. So first of all, the outside hitter in left back again, which for people that grow up playing that position, they're just so used to defending in middle back, and especially against a quick middle attacker like that, that left back angular defensive position is really difficult to learn. So it's fascinating to see the U.S. in their national team gym make that switch, to have their liberos play middle back defense sometimes and the outsides play left back defense. And Russell there just throws out a chicken wing left arm and stabs that one upwards. It's an amazing defensive play. And that the commentary didn't highlight that quite enough. I also, if I were doing this match, I would be talking about the fact that the outside hitter's defending left back, because that's not done everywhere in the world by any means. So then you get the Anderson tip over the block on the right side, which was covered pretty well. And then the Brazil, I don't know who tipped that ball, probably Allen on the right for them, over the block into the floor on the U.S. side. Commentary-wise, that's one where I would go with a narrating touch by touch kind of approach. Like saying, talking about how good the dig by Russell was, talking about Anderson smartly tipping the ball over the block, keeping it in play, the good first touch by Brazil, and another smart tip on the right side to score. I think that's where kind of on the fly volleyball play by play commentating can add a lot to that moment.
Great pick up from Christensen. Free ball for Brazil. Four attackers available. And again, this time he works Holt. Very difficult to...
Okay, not a whole lot to say about that play. Let's keep going.
Where the ball is going to go. To his left, his hands. Incredible serve from the out. These aren't serves at this level, they're spikes. USA defending them in the same way that Brazil defending spikes, stroke serves from Matt Anderson and Russell. Leal works the pipe.
All right, that's an interesting one. Commentating wise, like Clayton Lucas is talking about the whole play, he's talking about serving velocity and how jump serves at this level are basically just front row or back row attacks. They're hit at about the same speed, which is true, and it is worthy of highlighting, and it's ridiculous that these guys can pass the ball at this level. But that actually ends up being a really good and interesting rally that needs to be talked about, and he just kind of spends a little bit too much time kind of rambling on about the whole serving being the same as a spike sort of thing. And the vernacular difference as an American is highlighted. Like, if I were doing a match, I would never say the word spike, never once ever, but English-speaking volleyball in the rest of the world, spike is used a lot more. And anyone who's watched an FIVB match lately knows that they've been trying to push this thing where at the end of plays, if somebody hits it like some giant straight down kill or something, the whole arena goes super spike. And I think it just drives me nuts. That's just the difference in American volleyball lingo. But anyway, that's a hard thing about commentating volleyball, where you can only talk about a thing for just a split second of time, especially while a play is going on, because you never know when something exciting is going to happen. Let's keep going.
Anderson's going to look to try and rain some pain from the serving line. That certainly caused some damage. And so is that. What a set again from Bruno. No doubt you'd like this to be enough.
Man, yeah, Alan Souza really making a name for himself in this tournament. Lots of respect to that kid for just jumping really high and hitting the ball really hard. Anyone who hasn't seen this, there's a play, and it was in this tournament. I can't remember who it was against for Brazil. Brazil against maybe like Egypt or Tunisia or someone like that. Alan's in rotation four. He's sitting in the very, very far right back corner of the court. He's not in the serve receive pattern at all. And a jump serve comes like all the way from corner to corner and is about to land in. Alan, like not deciding whether or not to get out of the way, just actually stabs a right foot out at it. And the ball goes right off the inside of his right foot, perfectly to target. Bruno one hand sets his outside. And I think it's Mauricio who like smokes it down the line. That was the play of the tournament. So go look that one up if you haven't seen it. Let's keep going.
In their favor, if you're supporting the USA, now you're thinking, right, 3-1, that'll do. Don't care, want to see great volleyball, keep it going, 5 sets will be fine. But with the second touch, he's gone and done that because Lucas has dropped his arm.
That, the highlight clip cut off there, but Clayton Lucas was talking about how Christensen was reading the opposing middle blocker and then chose to dump, which is a huge credit to him as a commentator for noticing that and explaining why the dump was a good idea there. And Lucas Sotkamp, the Brazilian middle, was shading Max Holt, the American middle, on the 31. He was nowhere to be found on the setter dump, and the commentator pointed out that Lucas's arms had dropped down. Setters at this high of a level, Christensen especially, are looking peripherally and sometimes like straight up turning their head across the net to see what their opposing blockers are doing. And he saw that one every step of the way, and the setter dump was going to work every time with that blocker out of the way. And a really good job by that commentator pointing that out.
Similar pre-serve routine to that of Matt Anderson. That's not going to get hard enough. USA will come again. Brilliant. Christensen said, well, if it worked before, it'll work again.
Nice. I don't know how close those 2 points were those two highlights that we last just saw in like succession in the actual match. But it's funny that, yeah, Christensen still in the front row said, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep the set or dump thing going. And they, yeah, of course.
Great improvisation from Bruno. Not Japanese. This isn't Asian volleyball. Well, I can do that with it, though.
Anyone who's played the game at a remotely high level knows that when one setter kind of opens the floodgates of the setter dump, the other setter is going to be very quick to respond. And sure enough, Bruno, I don't know, that might have been 2 or 3 points later. That one was a little bit out of necessity in an athletic play to get that one over the net, but anyone who's ever played the setter position knows exactly what I'm talking about with that one.
That's a good ball in. Another classic example defender.
When Clayton Lukes, the commentator, is talking about a ball in, I think he means the first contact. He means the serve reception pass. And he knows as well as anyone that at the game at this high of a level just straight up comes down to the serve and pass battle. If ace to error ratio is one numerical indicator of that. But whatever team passes the ball better at this level and at most high levels, like the VLA level included, if the team that passes the ball better is probably going to win the match, because all these teams' offenses, when they are in system, are so good that it's going to be almost impossible to stop them. The setters are running the ball so fast to the pins. The hitters are so talented. There's always back row hitting options available. So a team at this high of a level, their only chance to prevent the other team's offenses from being unstoppable is to try and serve them out of system. So as a commentator, you know that, and it's kind of my job when I do this to explain that to people so they don't get annoyed with how many service errors there are. And in a highlight video like this, we're not going to see the service errors, but there can be times in the high-level men's game where there can be 2, 3, 4, hopefully not that many more, service errors in a row. And the game can kind of slow down in that case, but it's nice to be able to explain why, at least strategically, why the servers are being so aggressive. Because if they're not, then the other team's just going to run the offense down their throats. So it's Clayton Lukes always does a good job of talking about a positive pass or a less than perfect pass and its overall impact on the play.
Blocks up and you go down for a neutral position is to try and keep going down until you actually see the path that the ball is taken after it's hit the blocks. Oh, pick up by Shoji! Brilliant pull away by Russell.
Whoa, cool play there. Like, so Clayton Lukes is talking about, I don't know what he was talking about before that. It sounded like something mechanical about platform receiving, maybe. But then all of a sudden, Leal wide open out of the pipe, like smokes this ball against no block. And Eric Shoji just takes it right in the chest and pops it up. And then Aaron Russell with an equally good put away. The commentator did a nice job breaking from what he was talking about and then immediately like, oh, what a dig, or whatever it was that he said. Like, getting back to the highlight-worthy play that just happened. And when you commentate the sport of volleyball, things happen that fast that you have to be able to adapt to that kind of situation. So, yeah, really well done there. Looks like we got 17-17 set to Brazil up 1-0.
Shoji, what a superstar. Well, Brazil take the point, but Eric Shoji, he's on.
That's an incredible play by Eric Shoji. Anyone who really commentates the sport well does a good job of highlighting the libero position. It's not the one scoring points. I talked to Ryan Windisch, who's my only libero that I've had on the show so far. We talked about just kind of how it is to play that position. It's a unique role. Doesn't score points, but everyone knows how important it is. And the plays that those guys are able to make, Shoji's already been all over this highlight film. I like to try and do that to highlight the libero's like impressiveness and impact on the match, and Clayton Lukes does a good job of that as well. Not hard to be impressed by that hustle play by Shoji that time. Oh, another one. Okay, we've got a nice little battle of the setter dumps going on. Each setter has had two in this set. That's a really interesting. Let's see who wins this one.
Tales knocked over. Oh, played by Bruno. A free ball here for the USA. Still in play. They'll come again. Russell. Leal makes a good dig. Oh, that's a little bit tight. Oh, what a pickup from Christensen. You've got to be kidding me. And Tales can't keep it in play. The USA take a massive point.
Wow, that could be play of the match right there. A couple inaccurate sets in that rally by both teams. Like a couple balls to the outside that were too tight on both sides. Negated some pretty good chances by both teams of their hitters being able to take good swings, but a couple phenomenal digs. In particular, Christensen blocking on the right side against a hitter who had been set tight, and Micah knew that that hitter was going to push the ball into the block and try to swipe it off. And Christensen was the one getting swiped off, but he turns around as he's landing and sticks out a right arm, spinning around and popping that ball up. That is incredible awareness and like predicting, reading of where the play is going to go, where the ball is going to go. That's amazing. And then the swing that ends up winning the rally. Very, very well commentated. Just Lucas knew that that play was worthy of excitement and at a point in the second set where the stakes were that much higher. So that's really good. Brazil ends up winning the second set. They're up 2-0. Pretty commanding.
Free ball for Brazil. Oh, yes, great block. Lucas wasn't paying attention. You are the master of the ball. Not
much to say about that one, except it was a missed opportunity for Brazil. They get a nice, easy overpass and an incredible blocking read by Max Holt. Probably a little bit of a guess moving to his left. Maybe a statistically informed guess. But a nice move and a big mistake-saving block off the overpass from his team.
Slave of it. That's another important factor in volleyball. You're in control. Nice dig. Good up by Allen. He's now out of the play. It's a bit tight for Leal. Three blockers. Maybe a better chance now. Lucarelli. Oh, good up by Shoji. And it's the USA who'll take...
Wow, that is just a masterclass of high-level volleyball right there. All the things that I've already kind of talked about in this video so far. So you notice right away that Garrett Magatutia, who's playing the other outside hitter spot for the US this match, in the back row here, defending in left back, like I talked about Aaron Russell doing earlier, and making an incredible dig, pretty much straight up, off of a hard hit, like in-system middle attack ball. Impressive play. And then again, later in the rally, Eric Shoji, like in middle back, but past the end line, making a play look easy that was high off the hands. So it's really a testament to how the U.S. has set up their defense the last couple years, with moving their, like swapping their libero and their outside hitter to react to block touches and then training those guys to be good at those defensive positions. You also saw a really smart tip over the block in an out-of-system situation. You saw a couple really, really high, hard, high-caliber swings from pins, including the one by Aaron Russell that gets the point there. That is ridiculously high-level volleyball. And all those guys are doing those things with split-second reactions, and they're doing all those things smartly and on purpose. Can't say enough about how smart these guys are in addition to how athletic they are.
Point. Russell wraps it off of the fingers. It's the choices made by the setter so important.
So Clayton Lucas was just going to say there as the clip cut away, it's the choices made by the setter there that are so important. And that's coming from a guy that understands how an offense works. It understands how a setter is trying to make his decisions and what the criteria for success is. And that one there is a very obvious green check mark or a big old thumbs up from Bruno there, because he gets an easy one-on-one for his outside hitter. The middle blocker was totally pulled, and that's because of the set choice, because of everything that Bruno was doing with his body, not giving away where the ball was going to go, maybe doing some messing around with his eyes, but also a testament to Brazil's perfect pass on a pretty good serve. So commentator-wise, you got to give the setter credit for that play. You know that it's his choice to give that ball out to zone 4 to get the one-on-one that makes that play possible.
saved by Tales. Oh, that's not easy. The ball's come over the back. And Tales makes another one, and it's still in play. USA trying to find this point. It's not going to happen because it's a massive block. And look at that, Bruno.
Wow, what a play from Brazil that time. So first of all, from the very beginning of that play, you notice that Matt Anderson passed that ball. And he's an opposite. Like, people who know his game know that, like, he grew up playing outside hitter. He played outside of Penn State. He played outside his first several years, at least 4 or 5 years on the national team. But in this match and for the past, like, this entire quad and then for most of the last quad, he's been an opposite. But another thing that the U.S. does is they utilize the personnel they have on the floor. So everybody knows that Matt Anderson is capable of serve receive. So sometimes against hard servers, they'll pass with four. And that's not a luxury that most teams have because they have opposites that are opposites. They don't have ones that are top five in the world at two different positions. But what's amazing about this play is Tales, the libero for Brazil. Man, what a job he does taking two balls right off the chest from Matt Anderson. Or the first one was from Anderson. I think the second was a pipe. And then a nice block move by Lucas Sotkamp to close the door on Anderson, end up winning that rally for Brazil. That's where an incredible libero makes the difference in a point, can make the difference in a set, can make the difference in a match. And Brazil here up 22-17. This one looking all but over. Man, I wish that didn't cut away so early. I wanted to hear what Lucas had to say about that defensive play. And that was incredible. That was a good high swing by Anderson that was flying well out of play off the hands. And Lucarelli, in a move that every middle back defender dreams of making, totally laying out to his right, one-handed scooping that ball back in play. That's you just love to see that play. That's awesome. Every outside hitter dreams of that, making that play defensively. And the commentator going nuts for how good the defensive play was. Then a missed opportunity on the U.S. side. An imperfect free ball pass led to a hitting error by Matt Anderson. And now Brazil with several match points here.
That's not coming. Yes, it is. Brilliant save. What a save by Michael Christiansen. But it is Brazil who put the ball away. Alan with a free there. What a game of volleyball. Brazil take the set 25-17 and the match 3-0.
Nice. All right, let me go back to just myself here. Yeah, cool ending to that match. Bruno with a wide open, like, no block look for Allen on the right side, and he puts it straight down the line with no doubt. Commentator-wise there, you could tell that Clayton Lucas was being a little bit more excited than he usually might have been. Sorry, we got another video playing here.
Serve that needed it.
All right, there we go. Matt, it's 24-17. The match is, it's two sets to none. The match is basically over. But he knows that the match point call's got to be the fun one. It's going to be the one that people remember the match by. It's the last thing that happens. You got to bring the excitement somehow. So he kind of manufactures his own just by getting excited about the play. And then the play ends up being pretty sweet. The match clinching play there for Brazil. So, well done. A pretty solid job of commentating that match. An interesting job that he had there, taking a match that didn't really have all that many stakes to it and making it intense and exciting. Because like we talked about earlier, this entire tournament, the World Cup this past year, the winner of the tournament didn't really get anything. So the U.S. played a lot of starters that match. They clearly just didn't really have it. They weren't clicking on all cylinders. Brazil looked like they were, and they played their whole lineup with the intention of winning that tournament. But that tournament and that match analysis, is the situation behind it is very different than the one that I did on the last broadcasting analysis or whatever that I did one of these when it was the World League Finals. It was like for a gold medal and then $1 million of prize money or whatever it was. So the stakes are different, and it's part of the commentator's job to make the situation within the season or the tournament or whatever clear to the viewers. And sometimes, you know, you get matches that don't have that much on the line and that end up being 3-0 and not particularly close. And you, as the commentator, just have to make it exciting. You have to make it worth watching somehow. And Clayton Lucas does a really good job of that. If there's one thing he does really well, it's he gets excited about the volleyball that's in front of him. And that excitement is a thing that is universally translatable into any language, into any level of volleyball experience, into any, like, you know, level of volleyball viewership experience. Everyone understands excitement, and a commentator's excitement does a lot to get the viewer into the match. So, yeah, that's it. That's it for that video. I'll make sure to put that link in the description. I'll be back, I don't know, reasonably soon, hopefully with another one of these. We'll get to check out some more high-level action and break it down from a lot of different perspectives. So, yeah, that's about it. Rob St. Clair signing off. We'll see everyone next time.